Song for the Lesson is kind of an invitation song, and I thought it was appropriate for our text this morning. If you're following along, we'll be in Luke chapter 14, starting in verse 15 through 24. Luke 14, 15 through 24. A man went into a restaurant and sat down. The waiter came to him. The man said, "I'd like a cup of coffee with no milk." "A cup of coffee with no milk? Coming right up, sir," the waiter replied. 10 minutes later, nothing. Then 20 minutes later, nothing. After a half hour, the waiter finally came running to the table and said, "I'm really sorry, sir. We don't have any milk. Would you take your coffee without cream instead?" You know, dinner may not always be a perfect experience, but if you desire, God wants to invite you to the perfect banquet, where nothing is missing and everything's there and it comes right on time. Let's read our text this morning in Luke 14, verses 15 through 23. "And when one of those who had reclining at the table with him heard this, they said to him, 'Blessed is everyone who shall eat bread in the kingdom of God.' But he said to him, 'A certain man was giving a big dinner, and he invited many. And at the dinner hour, he sent his slave to say to those who had been invited, "Come, for everything is ready now." But they all alike began to make excuses. The first one said to him, 'I have bought a piece of land, and I need to go out and look at it. Please consider me excused.' And another one said, 'I have bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I am going to try them out. Please consider me excused.' And another one said, 'I have married a wife, and for that reason I cannot come.' And the slave came back and reported this to his master. Then the head of the household became angry and said to his slave, 'Go out at once into the streets and lanes of the city and bring in here the poor and the crippled and the blind and the lame.' And the slave said, 'Master, what you commanded has been done, and there still is room.' And the master said to the slave, 'Go out into the highways and along the hedges and compel them to come in, that my house may be filled. For I tell you, none of those men who are invited shall taste of my dinner.'" You know, a fellow goes into a restaurant or his favorite deli, and a waiter brings him a bowl of matzo ball soup. The customer signals the waiter to come back. He said, "Taste the soup." "Why?" inquires the surprised waiter. The man insists again. He says, "Taste this soup. You've been coming here for 10 years, he says. "There's never been anything wrong with the soup we've served you. Taste the soup." He said, "What's wrong? Is it too much salt? Not enough salt? You know, what's the matter with it?" The man insists and he says, "Taste the soup." He says, "Are the matzo balls not fluffy enough for you?" or something like that. And he, at the top of his voice, he says, "Taste the soup." The waiter finally agrees and he says, "All right." He says, "Where's the spoon?" And the man goes, "Aha." You know, we've all had experiences with waiters and, you know, good times, bad times. Sometimes the food comes quick. Sometimes it's not what we ordered. Sometimes it's just not like that. But God prepares a feast for us that's perfect in every way. And he calls us when it's ready. You know, that was kind of the long way of telling someone you needed a spoon to eat your soup. But the amazing thing about parables is that it reveals so much to us about God. In the book of Matthew that we're studying in class this morning, we see these parables and their truisms that we know are in this world, that we can take hold to and we can attach to. We've experienced them. We've made the mistakes and seen these things bear themselves out. We've seen all that. And we know that what Jesus is telling us is true. And he tells us this story from 3 different views. You know, the established, in other words, the Jews that were there, those who made excuses. They made every excuse in the world as to why Jesus wasn't the Messiah, why it wasn't right to follow him at that time? While they were too busy to follow someone that they seen with their own eyes perform miracles, that they heard with their own ears speak wisdom to them that they had not heard in their life. We see from afar, we see through a book, we see by faith, but they saw by sight and still had an excuse as why not to follow God. From the view of the guests, those needy who would accept an invitation, and from the view of the servants, those who would go out, the established, you know, who were these invited guests that Jesus is talking about? Now, when the time came, they were too cowardly to give an outright rejection of Christ, but instead offered flimsy excuses. Well, I can't go today because of this. Well, I can't come here because of this. I can't follow God because of all the problems and issues in my life. If it was just a better time, I could follow Him. All these excuses. These were the intended guests, the man's friends, the ones who were close to him. Those excuses. And we're good at making excuses in life. Some ridiculous excuses. Statistics show that most flat tires occur on Monday mornings and Friday afternoons. But are they real flats or unverified reports of flats? All I know is that Monday morning is when we wake up and don't want to go into work, and Friday afternoon is when we just don't want to go back to work for that afternoon. But that's when most of the flats happen. People offer ridiculous excuses all the time. I'm sure that the master would have rather heard the truth of why they didn't want to come to his feast. They made excuses. They represent religious folk like you and me who, rather than seeing the Messiah for who he is, prefer to go on about their temporal concerns, deceiving ourselves and believing our excuses. Oh, we believe our excuses. We buy them probably more than anybody else buys our excuses. But God is not fooled, and God is not rejected. Now we see from the view of those who accepted. The command was given to reach out to the poor, the crippled, the blind, the lame, those who had been put aside by society, those who were in terrible need, those who would appreciate an offer like this. You know, we see many people out there. We see them in dire straits. We see them in poor conditions. We see them crippled and lame. We see them with handicaps and disabilities and all those things. And it's almost, we look at them in society, you know, some people look at them as almost like a pariah. You know, someone who just didn't get it right, who just didn't get it straight. But God bless them. Some of those people are right for the gospel. They're right to hear and accept the gospel that Christ brought to us. They're ready to hear that. You know, James tells us to enjoy or to look forward to the trials we have in life because they make us better. I don't know about you, but I sure have an aversion to all those things myself. But those things can make us better, and conditions put us in the right place at the right time to accept the gospel of Christ. When I accepted the gospel, I was in just the right place at the right time. Other times, I may have said, don't bother me with it. Latter times, I may have done the same. But at that right time, God came to me and called me. You know, Jesus calls those who don't have a whole lot, don't have a whole lot to count on, don't have much in life, always seem to be in the wrong place at the wrong time. They appreciate an offer like that. They appreciate hearing the gospel. They appreciate the call to accept Him. Those commoners that Jesus was talking about jumped at the opportunity to experience something as wonderful as this. They just loved an opportunity to come to the feast of the rich man, where every food that they wanted would be there, everything they needed would be there. They would lack for nothing. They would, you know, if they were still hungry, you know, there would still be food for them to get. They were given an invitation and they accepted it. It was a free gift offering by that master. He didn't want anything from them. He didn't ask for a cover charge at the door. He didn't ask them to pay for what they got. And even an all-you-can-eat buffet has a price on it. And hopefully, you know, most people don't eat them out of house and home, and they can make a profit at the restaurant. But it's a free gift, something that we cannot pay for. All they had to do was say yes and show up. All they had to do was accept and do what the master said to do. The master said, come, and they went. There was nothing they could do to merit that relationship with the master. There's nothing that we can do, and I see so many people out there with pride and arrogance. Some of these captains of industry, some of these rich people from old money, and the arrogance that they run around with, like they themselves are God themselves, or they themselves are so much greater than everyone else, or they themselves are so powerful and so smart, when all in all, it all belongs to God. And the great and mighty Master calls us to freely take of what He has. And that's the way salvation is offered to us. You know, in fact, the parable illustrates the words of this passage from John in chapter 1, verses 11 through 13. He came to that which was His own, but His own did not receive Him. Yet to all who received Him, to those who believed in His name, He gave the right to become children of God, children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision, or a husband's will, but born of God. God calls us from wherever we are, wherever we're at, whatever our station in life, be it grand, be it lowly. But He calls us all to freely take of what He has for us. What He created for us that man has abused, that Satan has tried to run roughshod over and control, He calls for us to escape that. We are taught then that this gift must be received by faith, holding fast to the grace of the gospel, having the faith to not only say yes to Christ, but also to obey Him. In Ephesians 2:8-9, for it is by grace ye have been saved, through faith, and not from yourselves. It is a free gift, is a gift of God, not by works, so no one can boast. We can't boast of things we've done for God. We can't boast of the things we have. We can't say I'm closer to God because I've been a holier man or anything like that. We all need the blood of Christ. That is the one thing that can save us. Without that blood, all the things we've done, all the bad things we've done, all the sins we've committed, are out there in the book to see. But if you learn in Revelation, there's only one worthy to take hold of that book and to own that book, and that's Christ, because He died for you and me, and His blood was shed for us. You know, that invitation goes out for all who will hear. Just like in this parable, God's invitation goes out for the 6 billion plus people on this earth. To have eternal fellowship, to be at that feast with God forever and ever. It's a call. It's divine and holy. It's a call. It's a free call. There's no toll charges associated with it. It doesn't cost you a thing. It's free from God. And it's a universal call. It goes out to everyone, but not all will listen. John 3:16-17, so God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. Now, you might look at this and say, well, why does God punish people? Why does God do that? Well, God's singular purpose was not to condemn people. God will separate those who don't love Him and obey Him. But that's their choice. He came into this world to save you and me. He came in this world to save everyone that would accept Him. Because you see, that banquet table, it doesn't seat 6, it doesn't seat 4, it doesn't seat 12 or 16 or 32 or, you know, whatever great banquet tables you might see out there. That table can seat more than this world could ever produce in its lifetime of people. But unfortunately, like the master here, he has trouble filling the places there. Don't lose sight of the end result of accepting the invitation. A joyous banquet with the Lord. God never asks his people to give up something unless he plans to give them even more and abundantly in return. Jesus is calling all people to join him, not in a labor camp, not as slaves to him, but to come to a feast, the wedding supper of the Lamb, when God and his beloved church will be together forever and ever, eternally. You know, this life is temporal. This life ends. You know, funerals happen all the time. It's unfortunate, it's sad, but the thing is, when we go to heaven, that will never happen again. We'll never be hungry, we'll never be sad, we'll never be poor, we'll never be anxious, we'll never worry. Our tummies will be full, we'll be in good fellowship. We'll be with God, we'll be with those who love him, and we'll carry on in that eternal bliss forever. Have you accepted that banquet invitation? Will you be there? And lastly, look at the servants of the master. Our scripture tells us that a certain man prepared a great banquet and that he invited many guests. Well, we know that the man represents God. The great banquet represents the nourish and the sustenance for our soul that he gives us, the fellowship that we have there, the provision of God for our blessing and our salvation. He went on to say, everything now is ready, and the guests can come to that banquet. We know that God's people, the children of Israel, were the invited guests, those who were the Jews that rejected him. So he went out into the Gentile nation, to those outside the Jewish place, and called them. And they were brought in instead. Then the master gave the order to go out into the highways and hedges and compel them to come in. We know who the master represents, as well as the invited guests and the outcast. But who were the servants? We were once outcasts, but have now been saved, and now are servants of the Most High God. Those of us that are in the church, those of us preparing for eternity, all those servants today, you know, he called us to be out there, to be looking to those that we can save, to try to compel those that we know to come in. It's a tough task. Not many are receptive. But that's our life's goal, is to help those we can. Why? So that the house may be filled. God created us out of love. Don't you think he wants more of us to love? Don't you think he wants us to accept it? You know, the house can be looked in a couple of different ways. First, it can be looked at as a church, to where it brings people into his house, as many as possible, so that they can hear the good news of salvation. Then, in heaven, with that great feast with the Lamb, he saith unto them, come and see. They came and saw where he dwelt and abode with him that day, and for it was about the 10th hour, John 1:39. This is the first of the gracious invitations of the Lord Jesus to come to him, for our comfort and our needs. On this occasion, right after his baptism by John, he invited two potential disciples to come with him in his dwelling place. Very likely, this was an outdoor mat somewhere, for he soon afterwards acknowledged that the Son of Man had nowhere to lay his head, as we learned this morning in Matthew 8:20. Nevertheless, one night of abiding with Jesus changed their lives forever. It changed the course of what they did, from working out there in the secular world to giving up everything and following Jesus. Soon afterward, he issued another invitation to them. He said, come ye after me, and I will make you to become fishers of men, Mark 1:17. And they never went home again. They never went back. First he invites us to come and see and know him. Then he comes to go with him and help others. There's also the wonderful invitation to come to him for relief from our burdens and cares. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Matthew 11:28. God invites us to unburden ourselves. Later on, he tells us, come with me, my yoke is easy. Now, we know a yoke had two oxen on it. You know, who's carrying that load? Who's carrying that burden for us when things get heavy? Jesus is there. And note this promise that those who accept him as invitation, him that cometh to me, I will no wise cast out. John 6:37. He won't cast us out for any reason, as long as we love him, as long as we care, as long as we're steadfast with him. He's not going to say, you've worn out your welcome. It's time for you to go someplace else. You know, these were personal invitations to Zacchaeus, the seeking sinner, glimpsing Jesus from a sycamore tree. He said, come down for today. I must abide at thy house, Luke 19:5. Jesus comes to live with us, and we come to live with him. We are the bride, and he is the groom. When we join to him, it is that kind of relationship, and he provides for us. To his friend Lazarus, dead and bound in a tomb, he cried, Lazarus, come forth, in John 11:43. And not even the grave could keep someone from answering that call of Jesus. Now there are other invitations from the Lord, with gracious promises to those who come. But note especially the final invitation in the Bible. And the Spirit and the bride said, come. And let him that heareth say, come. And let him that is athirst come. And whoever will, let him take the water of life freely. Revelation 22:17. God wants to give it all to you. God wants to provide eternal life and salvation. God wants to provide for us. He created us out of love, and he's going to keep us in love as long as we love him and obey him. He'll be with us until the end. And in the end of this life, he'll be with us throughout eternity. When we leave this life, we're just changing locations. We're going to a better place. We're going to a place that's eternal. We're going to that great wedding feast in the end. That's the place I want to be. I want to be in the good graces of God. I want to follow him all the days of my life. I want to follow his word and obey his word because I know it's good for me. I know because his wisdom is better than mine. I'll lean on God, and in the end, I'll see him face to face. I hope this morning that that's your hope also. That all the days of your life, you can obey him and follow him, and he'll reward us in the end when we're all together over there. I don't know what your condition is, what your needs may be this morning, but won't you come as we stand and sing the song of invitation?